For the scripture reading, I'd like to read it myself this time from the Good News for Modern Man translation. A portion of chapter 5 is Ephesians. Since you are God's dear children, you must try to be like Him. Your life must be controlled by love, just as Christ loved us and gave His life for us as a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice which pleases God. Since you are God's people, it is not right that any questions of immorality or indecency or greed should even be mentioned among you. Nor is it fitting for you to use obscene, foolish, or dirty words. Rather, you should give thanks to God. You may be sure of this: no man who is immoral, indecent, or greedy, for greediness is a form of idol worship, will ever receive a share in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Do not let anyone deceive you with foolish words. It is because of these very things that God's wrath will come upon those who do not obey Him. So have nothing at all to do with such people. You yourselves used to be in the darkness, but since you have become the Lord's people, you are in the light. So you must live like people who belong to the light. For it is the light that brings a rich harvest of every kind of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Try to learn what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with people who do worthless things that belong to the darkness. Instead, bring these out to the light. It is really too shameful even to talk about the things they do in secret. And when all things are brought out to the light, then their true nature is clearly revealed. For anything that is clearly revealed becomes light. That is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." So pay close attention to how you live. Don't live like ignorant men, but like wise men. Make good use of every opportunity that you get, because these are bad days. Don't be fools then, but try to find out what the Lord wants you to do. Do not get drunk with wine, which will only ruin you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in the words of psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing hymns and psalms to the Lord with praise in your hearts. Always give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. The question this morning is how you may live in the light. How you may live in the light. And taken from Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse, where I read to you, well, several verses there. It says, "Since you have become the Lord's people, you are in the light, so you must live like people who belong to the light." This is a challenge to us, of course. And the rest of the chapter is good, and I hope someday to have Good News for Modern Man, several extra copies that will be available for you. I've ordered some, and those who wish to get them may do so. Light is a word used in connection with joy and blessing and life. And it's in contrast with sorrow and adversity and death. For example, very beginning of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And in Job 10, where Job is commenting upon the terrible things that had happened to him, he says at the 22nd verse, talking about going to death, he says, "A land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness." So the contrast is between God's presence and blessing and joy and life and sorrow and adversity and death. The 27th Psalm, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, there are so many passages in the Old Testament and in the New, for that matter, speak about the glorious light. Jesus, when he came, preached to the people in Galilee, and the prophecy in Isaiah 9 says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine." And of course, that light was Jesus Christ, who is the light of life then and is the light of our life today. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6, Paul, in writing of this, these are very good passages for us to get. Starting with the 6th verse, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." But nevertheless, we do have the light of God in our lives. And in the Colossians, we read there of God's light coming to us. In the first chapter, starting with the 12th verse, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So light expresses what is good that we want, that we desire. What do you really want out of life? What is your great desire? Life, joy, peace, blessing? The term light expresses this. And God himself, in his holiness, in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, dwells in light, it says, at the 16th verse, "who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." Now, this is true. We cannot approach to the light of God in all of its tremendous brilliance, but we can let the light of God shine into our hearts, into the dark corners of our hearts. And this happens through Jesus Christ. One more text here. 1 John, the first chapter, starting with the 5th verse, it says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." Now, I get to this point, my friends, and the truth is not in us. Truth and light are the same. But if we deceive ourselves, you see, and don't realize that the light of let the light of God shine into our lives, we're deceiving ourselves. "But if we confess our sins," it says, "he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And then throughout this epistle, light is contrasted with darkness,
But if you'll notice carefully, there seems to be a synonymous concept of light and love. It says in the second chapter, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. He that hateth his brother is in darkness." And that's the concept, that love and light are synonymous. And so how may you and I live in the light? Well, the answer is love. If we come to understand this great truth, we will have understood probably the greatest thing that we can regarding our own improvement and God's goodness. Over in the 19th Psalm, the 12th verse says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." This is a question which David illustrates very much. Remember, he did some evil there in the case of Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. I don't need to go into the story, but it seemed that he went out and he seduced this woman, and then he killed her husband, or had him killed, and then he went to his house and pretended or thought to himself that all was well. But in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, you read that God's prophet got a hold of this, and Nathan came to David, and he said unto them, "There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor." And then he told that parable about the rich man who took the poor man's little lamb that he loved, that even was a member of this poor man's own family. He ate his own meat, it says, and drank of his cup and lay down in his bosom. And this little lamb was to this poor man was a daughter to him. And this rich man came when a traveler came, and he took that poor little lamb and he killed it and gave it to the traveler for food. And he told this parable to David. Now before this, David, here's the point I'd like to get you to realize here, that it is much easier to see what is wrong with somebody else than it is to see what is wrong with myself. And so here, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he'll have to give back, besides this, fourfold," because he had no pity. Here is a case where a man who had committed a much more grievous sin, he had seduced a woman and caused her husband to be killed, and he did not see this secret sin or this sin in his own life, but immediately when someone else took a poor man's little lamb away from him without any compunction, pity, David saw that this man was doing wrong. And I submit to you, my friends, that this is the way people behave. We do not see what is wrong with our own lives, but we're quite apt to see what's wrong with someone else's life. That is where we need to have the light of God shine in our lives. Now then, in John's Gospel, light refers to the revelation of God's love in our lives, in Christ, and the penetration of that love into our lives, which are darkened by sin. John 8:12, we read that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now you and I want to have the light. We don't want to be like David, not able to understand our own sin, not able to see wherein we do wrong, but so quick to see where somebody else does wrong. We don't want to be like that. And so we have to have the light of Jesus in our life. In the 9th verse, chapter, in the 5th verse, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And in the 12th chapter and the 46th verse, his comment was, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So it takes belief in Christ to get out of the darkness of our souls. The supreme example that we have now in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, is that you are God's dear children. You must try to be like Him. You must have light in your life. Now, Jesus said that disciples were living in light. You remember the Sermon on the Mount, the 5th chapter of Matthew, how Jesus told them that at the 14th verse and on there, He says, ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is the duty of a Christian. Disciples, we are the light of this world. But it's just like he said also, ye are the salt of the earth, in the preceding verse. And he comments here that he's throwing everything into this one chance that the salt of the earth will still be salty. He says if it isn't salty, it's not good for anything. And if the disciples of Christ have no salt or no light in them, then Christ's program has failed in the world. And he's throwing it all into this one chance that the people of God will be the light of life in this world today. Now over in 2 Corinthians at the 4th chapter where we can start reading now at the 4th verse this time, where it says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Now our minds have been blinded. Let's not misunderstand this, that we have all knowledge and all truth, because our minds have been blinded in many areas. We may be grown people in one area and immature in another. Sometimes people are very mature when it comes to making money, very mature when it comes to matters of good health, but when it comes to the areas of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, sometimes we are very immature about this. And so this is what he's talking about here, that our hearts are blinded, our minds are blinded, that is, if we don't believe. But if we do believe, then we let the light of God into our life. The god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. This is the open key, or the key which opens the door of our hearts, is faith. And let in God's light and dispel the darkness in our hearts. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's in the very beginning, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to have communion a little later, so I can't take too long now, but I'd like to refer you to some of the television commercials that we get once in a while. Remember that commercial that says, got a cold, huh? And the fella comes in and offers some kind of a patent medicine. Remember how it goes? I don't need all these other things. No, all you need is this one thing that I'm offering you. And I'll repeat it three times, he says. Then he repeats two times more, a patent medicine. You remember that, don't you? You listen and you'll hear it. And as a Christian minister, I come to you as a doctor, to your own souls. And I know many of us need this. Throw out all those other patent medicines. And I'll repeat it three times what you need. Godliness. Godliness. That's what we need. And this is what Ephesians, the first chapter, says. Since you are God's dear children, you must try to be like him. Or in the other translation, in the King James translation, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Godliness. And he says, walk in love. And in the second chapter, it says, your life must be controlled by love. So instead of saying godliness, I could have said love. 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 And each one of them means a little different. Because God said through Christ to the rich young ruler, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, and so on, and thy neighbor as thyself. And I submit to you, there are three people there that you need to love. You need to love God, you need to love your neighbor, and you need to love yourself. Now, if we love God, but we don't love our neighbor, John, 1 John says, we don't really love God. And unless we love ourselves, we are not able to love our neighbor. I think those three things are tied together. And when the light of the gospel comes into your life, and we have the supreme example of what love can do, then we can say, you mean I don't need all those other things? And we can say, no, all you need is love. 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 That's what you need. Because this is godliness. This is the supreme example, to be an imitator of God. We are children of God. We are sons of God. If you are a doctor's son, you usually have the capabilities to be a doctor. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but this quite often happens. If you are a farmer's son, you usually have the capabilities to be a farmer. If you are a lawyer's son, you oftentimes have the capability to be a lawyer. If you are a teacher's child, you have the capability to be a good teacher. If you are a Christian's child, you already have a head start on being a Christian. But that does not mean that those who do not have these fathers with these capabilities cannot hope to be doctors or lawyers or farmers or Christians. But you do have a head start. Now here we're saying that you are children of God. Every one of you believes that you're a child of God. Okay, you've already got a head start toward love then. You already have a head start toward godliness because you are a child of God. It's a measure. And in this text, in Ephesians 5, your life must be controlled by love, just as Christ loved us and gave his life for us as a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice which pleases God. Now, this is the measure of how we are to love, is Christ. The greatest possible height, as Christ has loved us. And I submit to you, my friends, that you and I can catch love like people catch the measles. We can catch love if we will apply ourselves emotionally to understand the love that Christ has for us. We can also catch love if we apply ourselves to understand the love that other Christians have for us. And this brings up the point that you and I belong to a small church. I don't believe there are over 20 people here this morning. Is there any reason why each one of us cannot love each other one of us with a great and tender love of Christ? Now, supposing we were 1,000 members. Supposing this church was full of 500 people or more. Then I might say it's impossible for every member of that church to love every other member of that church. Might not even know them. Even the preacher doesn't know sometimes more than 50% of his people in a huge church. But here we know and love only about 30 people or 40. I submit to you that's not an impossible task. In fact, you can't do it if it's too big a group, but you can do it with a small group. And so here we are, God's family. Since you are God's people, and then it goes on to describe what it is in this fifth chapter that we can do. And since we don't have time to go into all of it, I just want to bring it to a close. You read this chapter again. You also, as we mentioned in the bulletin, can understand Ephesians, that it talks about the foundations of our life being in love, and the love of God and of Christ, and the unity of the body. And Ephesians 4 tells us how to live the new life in Christ. And now this chapter tells us how to live in light rather than in darkness. In light rather than darkness. I wish I had time now to go into that more. Because this chapter goes on and talks about the relationship between wives and husbands, between children and parents, and even between boss and employee, how we all fit into this pattern. And the key to it is that we have godliness or love in our hearts in order to gain the prize. Living in the light, we can pay attention to how we live. We can look into our lives and not like David be blinded by our own wrongdoing, if we have any, which David, you know, found it a lot easier to see what was wrong with somebody else. And so when your tongue gets to the place that you want to criticize somebody else, stop and think, what is there about myself that perhaps is worse than what I am criticizing about somebody else? Now, I don't want people to be self-blaming on this, but merely to be letting God's light shine into your life. And through the shining of that light, that we might walk in love and grow and become truly children of light. This is the simile that Jesus used and that Paul used. We are children of light. The bright light of God. I had a dream last night, trying to put them down when I have dreams to see what I dreamed about. In this case, I dreamed about a bright light that I was trying to work toward where God was. Beautiful. I wanted to see the whole valley flooded with light. And it wasn't given me to do that. But as I went through the canyons, I could look up and see a cliff here and there. It was covered with the light of the sunshine. And as I look out, I see that this is true. It is impossible for me to ever arrive at the place in this life, for I can see the bright light of God everywhere I go, but I can see illuminated here and there a mountainside. The sun breaks through and illuminates it, and I can see people here and there who have the light of God shining in their life. Letting God's light illuminate the dark recesses of our heart And then love becomes the important thing.